Today's scripture is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. The word of God for the people of God.
All right. Hello, everyone. So we've been talking about the means of grace, and you might laugh when I tell you what we're talking about this Sunday. The means of grace that we are discussing is Christian conferencing or fellowship and being together. And I'm actually surprised to see so many people here this Sunday. I thought there's going to be like 20 people, and I'm like, let's talk about, you know, getting together and, you know, just in this time of, in the midst of the coronavirus and, you know, shutting down of public events, social isolation, all of that, it just feels very ironic to me that now I'm talking about Christian conferencing. But I do want to say the message will not be about the coronavirus. I know that that is such a big event. And even just for me, like in the last few days, since Wednesday, like every day, it's like new decisions have been made, new things have been happening. And I get that that's a big deal and our life has changed pretty dramatically in the past few days. But I'm going to continue just talking about Christian conferencing, and I'll tell you why. I wanted to share an excerpt from a communication by Free Methodist Bishop Keith Cowart that was also shared on our Facebook. Did anybody see that? Shared on Facebook? Well, my dad shared it. But he says, not surprisingly, the response of everyday Americans reflects the polarization that has come to define our nation. Even the coronavirus can't escape the toxic effect of a politically charged environment devoid of trust and replete with divisive rhetoric. One side accuses the other of fear-mongering. The other side accuses the former of carelessness. This divisiveness, created by both, adds to the confusion and fuels the fear. What if we, as Christians, offer a radically different response to this crisis? Rather than being sucked into the vortex of fear, suspicion, and judgment, what if we demonstrate to the world what it truly means to be a follower of one whose kingdom is not of this world? And that's why I think it's so important that we talk about this. In a world heavily divided by issues of politics, morality, religion, and justice, in a world increasingly isolated by busyness and the shallow interaction of social media, and now in a world terrified by pandemics, climate changes, natural disasters, and wars, now, probably more than ever, at least in my lifetime, it is important that we engage in true Christian conferencing and togetherness. We need to be unified. We need to learn what it means to be together and to experience grace, God's grace through Christian conferencing, which I know is kind of a funny, when we think of conferences, we think of, you know, going somewhere and hearing a bunch of lectures, or we think of conference calls, but it's kind of, it's a term that John Wesley sort of coined that we use. John Wesley is sort of the founder of Free Methodism. He didn't necessarily mean to found a new church, but that is our sort of church father. And so what we've been, our Means of Grace series is also kind of from the fountain of John Wesley's sermons and his thoughts. So let's kind of delve right in. I want to go to a biblical example of the early church. And actually, before I delve in, I just want to say today my sermon is going to be rather short, and then we are actually going to engage in the Christian conferencing. So when I end rather soon, just know that there's more. So we're starting with our biblical example of the early church. This is Acts 2, 42 through 47. This is right after Jesus has ascended into heaven. The apostles, or the early church, the apostles, the disciples, they the Holy Spirit has just come onto them at the Pentecost, and this is what they did after that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They got together even more than we do. They were getting together every day. They were living together. They were living life together. And that was something that was blessed by God, something that they were experiencing life to a fuller extent because of it. But today, many feel frustrated with religious institutions and decide not to attend church, feeling that they can better explore their faith on their own or just with maybe a few friends. And now John Wesley's sermon on the means of grace, for me, can sort of shed some light on this issue. I feel like there are three sort of main reasons why people would leave the church, not necessarily leave Christian faith, like they would still say that they believe in God and they are a follower of Jesus, but would leave institutionalized religion. The first reason, I think, is because they misunderstand religion. Wesley says that after the early church began meeting together, some began to mistake the means for the end, to place religion rather in doing those outward works than in a heart renewed after the image of God. He's saying people thought that going to church was like coming to this building and being together was it. That was it. And it wasn't that inward religion, that when we come to meet here, it's because we love each other. It's because we're compelled to, because God has designed us for that. And so if we just are in this, I'm doing this outward thing because this is what I think is supposed to help me or supposed to do whatever I think religion is supposed to do, it's going to be shallow. If it's not for our heart compelling us to, and because of that heart religion, it's not going to be what we expect. Later he says, but we allow that the whole value of the means, Christian conferencing, depends on their actual subservience to the end of religion. That consequently, all these means, when separate from the end, are less than nothing and vanity. And that's what happens. People come to the church thinking that just being here at the church, just attending Sunday services, is going to bring spiritual fulfillment. But if it doesn't go to the heart, the real end of religion, right? The end of religion is that we would have a relationship with God, and not being like, that's the end, story over, but you know, the means justify the end in that sort of term. And if they come here and their heart is not engaged, it's not going to mean anything. It really isn't going to mean anything. When church is solely about outward religion and it is disconnected from the heart, of course it doesn't hold any value for those who are seeking a real religious experience. And so they come and they feel like, well, this isn't feeding me. This isn't worth it. You know, these people are, then the other things might start to come up, like these people are hypocrites or these people are whatever it might be. And they leave the church. Another reason why I think people leave the church is that it can be difficult, right? It can be hard. John Wesley also says this. He says that people who are awakened enough, spiritually awakened enough, to recognize their flaws and have a desire to grow, but then maybe are young enough in their faith that they are struggling with growing, they don't know how, or they're impatient with their present state, they can get frustrated at the church and the lack of change that they might see in themselves. Like, this is kind of a hard concept, but how many of you have said, like, I want to be reading my Bible more, and then struggle with it, and then get frustrated and give up? And maybe we don't say I'm giving up, and we wouldn't tell somebody that we've given up, but we stop reading it day to day, right? I know that I have been there. And people do this with the church. They come to church wanting to enter in. They see their own flaws. They see other people's flaws. They feel like this is too hard. This person makes me too mad. I can't cope with whatever is happening. And they leave the church. The third, and this one I hope is not the case of anybody here, but there are people who leave the church because they have been abused by people in the church, by maybe a sort of fake religion. As sad as it is, there are some churches and some leaders who abuse their position in the church. And what they preach is not, it's destructive. And now I pray that that is not the case here. But that is a reason why some people leave the church. So people leave because of misunderstanding religion, difficulty with religion, or being abused by religion, and that leads to rejected religion. I mean, have you heard people say, like, well, I don't like religion, but I love God, you know? They're kind of the same thing, actually. And it's like splitting them apart when they should be together, right? So when we talk about means of grace, that is outward religion. But what have we said? Means of grace are nothing unless we have the end, which is that inward religion. But the outward stuff doesn't mean nothing. Yeah. It's important. Yeah. You can't say you love people and then never spend time with someone. Yeah. Right? We exist outside of ourselves, and we need to have outward and inward together. When outward religion has lost its connection to the inward religion, and when outward religion feels like it isn't yielding the promised results, means of grace are rejected as unnecessary or even condemned as destructive to the faith. You know, people say, you know, I'm a much better Christian now that I don't go to church. I've heard people say things like that. But we have a clear warning against this in Scripture. It says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have the great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. God doesn't want us to exist outside of fellowship. Yeah, that's right. And I believe specifically in the church. Again, not necessarily this building, but this body of believers. The corporate worship of us coming together. Regardless of misunderstandings, difficulties, and abuse, the act of meeting together is still a means of grace. So how do we overcome these challenges? I'm going to talk about it a little bit, and then we are going to work at it a little bit. When it comes to misunderstanding religion, we just need to know that we do not come to church solely to fulfill a duty. It is an act of the heart. And I can't necessarily help you with that, right? That's something that you've got to work through with God. And on those, and I'm not saying that on days when you're like not feeling up to church, you're like, well, my heart's not into it, so it'd be dishonest or something for me to go to church, right? I remember being a kid and, you know, still having to say I was sorry or apologize, even, you know, but I don't feel sorry. And it's like, well, you still got to make amends with this person. It's kind of the same thing. It's still important, even when we don't always feel like it, or like going to the gym, you know, sometimes you just got to go to the gym, even if you don't feel like it. And I think that's how it is with church. coming to Sunday services, engaging with people. Sometimes you don't feel like it, but there's this sort of heart decision of I value going to church. I value being with people, and I know that it's good for me. So even if I'm having a hard time with the motivation, I'm going to do it because I value that, and that's going to be a part of my life. Now, the next one, having trouble with or difficulties with religion, I think that there's two main ways that this comes across, and these are, one of them is the sort of exercise we're going to do today. I think we have problems when we disagree with people, and then we also have problems initiating. Those, I think, are some of the two biggest interpersonal problems that we have, even outside of the church, right? We can have a hard time being vulnerable with people, initiating a deeper relationship, because, you know, what if they don't reciprocate? What if they don't want to go that deep with you, right? There's that sort of vulnerability that can be really hard to overcome. And then on the other side, when you disagree with somebody, especially in our culture that disagrees about so much, a lot of times we want to turn the other way. We want to hide, or it's kind of fight or flight, right? We either want to fight and we want to disagree and we want to yell, or we want to do whatever, and then we can burn bridges between those relationships. Or if you're like me, you just want to run away and pretend that nothing ever happened. But that's not going to bring true Christian conferencing. That's not going to bring true togetherness. And then the last one, abusive religion. And as I said before, while we fervently hope that none of you are experiencing abuse here at Grace, if you are, please do tell the staff about it. No one should experience abuse within the church. And I don't want to like just skirt over that because it's like, you know, I mean, more than half of the staff members are my family. But even so, if one of them were abusing you, that shouldn't be in the shadows just because we're family, right? Okay, what we're going to work on today is we're going to work on overcoming maybe a little bit of fear of initiating with people or sort of fear of vulnerability. All right, so if I can have your attention, I know that this is, you're maybe just starting, these questions are helpful when you're starting to get to know somebody, and I would say Christian conferencing is deeper than that. But it starts with that, right? You're not going to open up to somebody that you don't know anything about or that you haven't spent some time together building bonds. One thing that I found out with Dean, I don't know where Dean is now, but we found out that we both love To Kill a Mockingbird. I wrote that as my favorite book and he wrote that as his favorite film. And so even things like that, you know, you share more about each other, you find things in common. And so feel free to keep this and to look over it and get inspired for different questions you can ask. I did put it on the other side. I wrote at the bottom where I found it. I did not come up with this, and I just want to give proper credit. It's from a resource called Leadership Story Lab, and there's a book also associated with it. And then also on this other side, because remember the other thing I said that is kind of hard for us when it comes to the difficulties in Christian conferencing is navigating through disagreements. And so this is a little sort of thing. It's from a Methodist church. And this is like, these are some things to keep in mind when we are walking through disagreements with people in the church. So I also encourage you to look, to read through that and to bring it home and to keep these with you and to try to incorporate these things into your life. I don't know, especially for you introverts, maybe that was a little bit much, but I really enjoyed getting to talk with somebody and getting to learn new things about them. And the reason I did that is because I want you to know that it feels scarier than it actually is sometimes, right? And especially when we come to church, if you've been coming for a while, you sit in your same seat, you do the same thing, you talk to the same people. But even people that you don't always talk to, you have so much that you can talk about. And these questions are really good places to start to start bringing discussions and to start talking about those things. So worship team, go ahead and come on up. It's kind of an abrupt ending for the sermon with having a little activity like that. But again, I encourage you, take these home, look through them, make sure that you are, that you're not just like tossing it away, never think about it again. But use this opportunity. Our service is not over yet, though. We do still have worship. So,
good worship, too. It's coming.
Some good worship. So, as we sort of continue, as we move into worship, we're talking about Christian conferencing, and that's like with each other, and that's what we've been doing. But it is a means of grace, which means that God gives us grace through being with each other. So as we're worshiping, I want you to think about the things that were shared and think about how could I maybe take another step with that person. And I actually have my sort of homework or next steps is one of two things. Either somebody in the conversation that you were with, it could be one of the two or one of the four, maybe after church say, I was really interested by some of the other things that you wrote. Let's go and get some coffee and just get to know each other a little bit better. So that's option number one. Option number two, since we are, within the coronavirus and people are supposed to stay at home or whatever, call somebody. You can't transmit germs over the phone. And I encourage you to call somebody that you've been wanting to maybe catch up with, or somebody that you've been like, man, they really impacted my life and I wish I could just tell them. Well, why not? So either make that phone call that you've been putting off, that friend that, your best friend that you're in different states and so you don't talk anymore and you keep thinking, I should call them. Either make that phone call or one of those people in your group, ask them to get some coffee or just to come over and get to know them a little bit more. Or do both. Both are great options. So pray about that. Think about that as we worship in our with our next two songs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us family and you've given us Christian conferencing, this need for an ability to experience your grace through one another. As we sort of just started with the getting to know each other today, I pray that some of these conversations that were had, that they grow into really fruitful and deep and meaningful relationships. And that it wasn't just sort of a fun activity, but it's something that we get to experience your grace by, and not just today in this service, but continuing forward. Thank you for your gifts. And we pray that you would continue to pour out your grace to us as we continue into worship with you. Amen.